dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You can't wait. We can't wait. It's going to be amazing in Banditland on Saturday afternoon at 4:30. It's game three, the final game of the NLL Finals. Bandits and Rush as Buffalo looks for a seventh title in franchise history. Paul Dawson of the Bandits is with us now. I feel, Paul, that Marty's going to have the bulk of the questions for you based on your defending style and your background. But I mean, you can tell. I'm so excited for this weekend. What is it like for you guys, having taken game one, the narrowest of defeats in game two, and the buildup now this week for game three?
Yeah, it's great. I think it's kind of like one of those things, right? You know, obviously you start every season kind of with this in mind, but it's like, if you pulled the players being like, hey, we got one game at home in front of 19,000, like, would we take it? And, you know, every single guy is going to say yes. So, again, that's why you try and finish first and try and get this home floor to, you know, play in front of these fans. And it's hostile. It's going to be great. You know, it's going to be sold out. So, yeah, the boys are amped up for sure.
Okay, yeah, let's go right into it. A new single season shot blocked record for you. Look, in hockey, like Alex Tuck blocked the most shot this last season with the Sabres, but he's got full, I'm not going to say full gear, it's not like a goalie, but you guys don't wear much, like, and that ball hurt. So it's got to be like, I'm happy to do my job, but man, it leaves a mark every time.
Yeah, no, it's the legs are all black and blue. The arms are all black and blue. Yeah, I mean, the upper body's not too bad, but anytime it hits on any part of the leg, that's just skin on ball, which doesn't feel great. But, you know, I guess it's just, you know, when you're in the heat of the battle, the adrenaline's going. I mean, you still feel it, but you don't really notice it till after the game. So, again, it's just one of those things, like you being a goalie and, you know, me being a defender, you know, whatever I can do to make your job easier is what I'm trying to do there. And especially in lacrosse, if we don't get a shift, they don't get a shot on net, there's no reset. So that's kind of a big thing too. So it's just one of those things, just, you know, try and do whatever we can to win.
Paul, you've been doing this, though, for almost two full decades in the National Lacrosse League, and it's only been since 2022 that they have officially kept this stat. So while you were a single season record holder this year, do you believe that there have been other years in your career where you may have blocked perhaps a lot more than this season?
Yeah, that's funny because, you know, I've played with Vino for a long time, and it's definitely a topic of conversation, like with the single season. And I think I lead the all time, but it's only been 3 years. Everyone's like, you know, when did you start blocking shots? And me, V just laughed because, like, again, I came in kind of doing it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even really remember if a time in the season where I had more than 53, but it's like people are like, how many do you think you blocked? And it's like, you know, honestly, probably around 50 a year. So you times that by whatever, 18, 19 years, that's probably where we at. So, but yeah, it's just funny because since they've taken the stats now, it's becoming a thing. But it's like we've been doing it for a lot longer than that with no reward, no nothing. No one cared about it.
Well, you were a goalie before. And look, if I'm going to be playing out in an alumni game or a beer league game or whatever, somehow the instincts are always, I want to get in front of the puck and block it, right, as a goalie. So is that how that first translated, like you going from goalies to a defender and saying my instincts are, I just want to get in the way of the ball?
Yeah, 100%. Like, again, when I first started playing out, it was, you kind of don't really know what you're doing. So all of a sudden you're kind of out of position, but you see the guy shoot. You're like, well, might as well try and make a save. And that's kind of how it's evolved and kind of helped me become good at it. So yeah, I've never really lost that kind of instinct, but it's definitely kind of when I first started, it would just be like natural. You'd still throw the arm out or whatever, like a goalie. And that's how it all kind of started.
You previously won during that past era, you said, with Matt in Rochester. You joined the Bandits last year. You won again. You're on the cusp of it again this season. How did you end up in Banditland in the back half of last year? How did that all go down? And where were you at mentally at this stage of your career prior to arriving with the Bandits?
Yeah, I mean, I got traded at the deadline from Colorado. So it was interesting because, I mean, I'll try and make it a short story, but I was the captain of the team in Rochester, and then kind of before the start of the season, they had a different view and didn't want me to come back. So I kind of went from being in Rochester for, you know, a long time, being the captain, and then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, we just don't think you got it. So that was, you know, like any athlete, it's a bit of a shot to the ego when you still think you can play and all that. And luckily Colorado reached out and, you know, they've had some good seasons and had some, you know, good rivalries with the Bandits. So I thought, you know, this would be a good situation. We'd make a run at it, get to Colorado. Just things didn't work out team-wise. We had some injuries and just kind of the season went by the wayside. But I loved my time there. And, you know, I didn't talk to the team about getting a trade or anything. It was just kind of at kind of the 11th hour of trade deadline, I saw my...
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Phone ring from the GM, and you know, as Marty probably knows, any timeline on deadline day, you know something's gonna happen. So I answered it, and it was the GM of Colorado, and just said, hey, listen, you know, we appreciate everything you've done, you know, so on and so forth, but we trade you. And then it's kind of like, okay, we'll where? And then he said to Buffalo. And you know, at the time, I've spent so much time in this league against these guys that there was honestly a deep hatred for the organization and for the players, just of the success they had. And just, you know, it kind of like a Toronto Montreal thing. There was just a deep rivalry. So it was definitely mixed emotions, but kind of after, you know, 20 minutes of realizing that this team still had a lot to do and a lot to give and be successful. I know the season last year wasn't as good as they wanted it to be, but I realized it was going to be a really good situation for myself and kind of in the last half of my career. So all of a sudden I started getting excited. And then, you know, you get to Banditland and, you know, it's always fun playing against the Bandits in Banditland, but then all of a sudden you get there as a part of it. And it's just like, it's another level, obviously, you know, 18,000 in there, everyone's knowledgeable. They're all into the game and it's been an awesome fit. And, you know, hopefully we can kind of continue the storybook run. So, it was definitely mixed emotions, but now, like, it's one of those things where it's like, man, I wish I did it earlier.
Do you know if Vino petitioned for you to come on the team because you guys know each other?
I don't. I remember talking to Chugs, the GM, and he said he tried for a couple times. And I do remember when I was back in Rochester when we were a new franchise, and there was a deadline, and the GM at the time came up to me then and said, you know, there's a couple teams interested. And I just said, you know, I kind of wanted to grow. We were an expansion franchise. So I was like, well, I kind of want to grow and lead this team and try and, so I kind of turned down the trade. I didn't know who it was, but now coming back, it was Buffalo. So I guess they tried for a couple years, and I don't know if V petitioned for me or not, but again, just happy to be here now.
Rewind to, I don't know, let's say you're 10 years old and you're playing the game with your brother. And now we fast forward three decades and both of you are in the top 10 all time in games played. Wildly different players, but incredibly impactful players. Like, How do you describe this family journey?
It's it's crazy. Again, it's going to be something we, you know, we both look back, you know, post-career. Obviously he's post-career now, and it's crazy. I don't know how we got here, to be honest. I mean, obviously, you know, look at my brother's career. He's, you know, one of the best of all time and all that. But again, like he worked for everything he got. And to be honest, like I'm 4 years younger than he is. And just watching kind of the transformation he made kind of drove me to kind of continue doing what I was doing. And, you know, and then it comes from my old man who's passed away a couple of years ago, but he was a cop for 44 years in Toronto. So I think it kind of just trickled down that, you know, you got to put the work in, and if you do, good things usually happen. But it is kind of surreal to think that we're both in the top 10 again. I'll say, like, my brother, I always kind of knew once he turned the switch on and was how he would do great things. But, you know, for me, it's kind of cool and something I never thought of or never something I aspire to, but it is something pretty special.
What's the one point of emphasis for the game three? Like, looking back to how game one went and game two didn't go, what's the one point of emphasis for you and your team?
Just honestly, a clean 60. I think if we can play a clean 60, I just think too many little mental mistakes that end up in the back of our net. I think if we stay disciplined, stick to our structure, like it's so cliche, but, you know, we were one goal. And if we look at it, kind of all the goals we gave, there was five or six that we almost gift wrapped them. So yeah. I think defensively, we can just keep them to the outside, be harder on loose balls, pick up more loose balls, and not take penalties. I think we'll be in a good position to give ourselves a shot.
Paul, amazing discussion today. Thank you for this. You undoubtedly know that Bandits fans probably had the same feeling about you prior to your arrival in Bandit land. And that's
what's also, you know, it's tough. Like, it's funny because it's kind of like a Brad Marchand going to Florida. Like, exactly. Most of the fans I got met with was, man, I hated your guts before you got here, but I like you now. But, you know, as we play the game, that's why I play it. I don't want to be liked by fans or by opposing players, but it does lead to some awkward conversations to start, for sure.
Well, good luck on Saturday. Thank you again for the time.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's Paul Dawson of the Bandits, just an ultra tough defender in this league for almost 20 years, multiple championships, and he's trying for another with the Bandits as they take on the Rush Saturday afternoon at 4:30 in what we expect to be a sold-out Bandit land. We're back after this. Stay with us.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.